Secular leaders remain in control of Indonesia after last month's elections. But fundamentalists have gained some ground in the world's most populous Muslim country. A group of intellectuals is now trying to respond by sponsoring a call-in radio show. The topic of discussion is what they call liberal Islam. Kelly McEvers reports from Jakarta.
In 1998, longtime Indonesian dictator Suharto was forced from power, and Indonesia began its difficult transition to democracy. All of a sudden, the marketplace of ideas was flooded by radical Islamists who had long been silenced by Suharto, but also by student activists who had their own ideas about Islam. The activists often met here, at an outdoor bar and cafe that's a rare sight in conservative Indonesia. One group called itself the Liberal Islam Network. Nong Dorol Mahmada was a founding member.
I'm here because my Islamic perspective is liberal Islam. Islam is like dead material, you know?
Dead material, she says, in that when she was growing up, it was nearly impossible to question Islamic doctrine, especially as a woman. Mahmada comes from a conservative Indonesian Muslim family. Now she helps the Liberal Islam Network maintain a website, write a column in a popular newspaper, and run a radio show.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Each week, a guest is invited to consider a specific element of Muslim life. This program took on polygamy, which is accepted by most Muslims.
Hello.
Hello, Bu Maria di RA.
One caller says, polygamy is okay if a man's first wife is unable to have children. Host Ulil Absar Abdallah reminds the caller that Islam is a religion that prioritizes justice. Polygamy, he suggests, can be unjust to women. Opinions like this have made the Liberal Islam Network a lightning rod in Indonesian society, especially with the fundamentalists. In 2002, a death threat was issued against Abdallah, and he is the target of protests when he speaks at universities. Abdallah says many Indonesians are liberals at heart. They are just too reluctant to counter the fundamentalist line in public. But Mastar Masoudi, who heads a mass organization of some 40 million rural Muslims, says both the fundamentalists and the liberals are ignoring the more important issues.
For the majority of Indonesian people and Muslim people here, the very urgent issue is about the poverty, about the corruption, about the violence.
Robin Bush heads the Asia Foundation's Program for Islam and Civil Society here. She says Indonesia is unique because it's one of the few places in the world where liberal-minded Muslims can flourish in their own society rather than in exile. She says Indonesia could teach the world some important lessons on how to establish a democracy in a Muslim country.
I think it would be a very powerful thing to take this thought and this work coming from Muslim scholars using Islamic arguments about how they view democracy and how they view human rights and pluralism and tolerance and bring them to other areas of the Muslim world.
The U.S. government provides some funding to the Liberal Islam Network, and many of the group's members have studied in Western countries. U.S. diplomats here, however, admit that while they're spending a lot of time selling the American agenda to Indonesia, they may not be spending enough time bringing Indonesia's experience back to America. For NPR News, I'm Kelly McEvers in Jakarta.